I speak to you today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How do you choose a stone? This is a question my family will consider next week when we are gone on spring break to the mountains of North Carolina. Ever since our dating days, I have competed with my wife in skipping stones across whatever lake or river is available. Now, between my wife and I won't share who typically wins, but he's pretty good. My son is just now to the age where he can learn the skill himself. And the key, you see, to skipping a stone across the river is to choose the stone carefully. It can't be too light, because in that case it will not glide across the water with enough force or momentum. It cannot be too heavy or too rough. This will cause it to sink quickly to the dark depths of the river. If you want to land on the far side of the river, you must choose a stone carefully. Now, what does a stone have to do with palms, you might ask? Well, a lot more than you might think initially. We who have stood with the crowds, who have shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," this quotation, which we have participated in ourselves, is lifted from Psalm 118, which is the second most quoted psalm from the Old Testament within the New, just behind Psalm 110. No other passage is referenced as much in the Gospels or the Epistles. The portion quoted reads, "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." The word Hosanna, in our context, sums up everything in the first verse, asking for success and for salvation. So many have come to Jesus through the ages looking for him to give them success, and not much has changed. But instead, what we learn is that he gives us himself. He gives us his very life, his very death. "This is my body given for you." If you read Psalm 118, though, in its entirety, you will come across the most quoted part of it, which is lodged just a few verses prior to the crowd's acclamation. In fact, we said it a moment ago. It is the portion where the psalmist talks about how to choose a stone. The psalmist declares, "I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing," the psalmist says, "and it is marvelous in our eyes." We know that the New Testament writers routinely apply this directly to Jesus, often. And so it's clear then that Mark is making a kind of explicit literary hyperlink to Psalm 118 within the triumphal entry account, intending to invoke this stone image as well. The people have a specific vision of what this mighty warrior king will come and do. But Jesus has his own vision, you see. And so by invoking Psalm 118, there is more than a subtle hint here that these same people will be rejecting this same Jesus rather quickly, rejecting him like an unfit stone into the depths of the water. The great Episcopal preacher Fleming Rutledge says that Palm Sunday is kind of like having a Trojan horse pulled into the midst of your parish. At first, the liturgy begins in joyous acclamation, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But by the end, the crowd yells, "Crucify him." This is intentional. And if we experience a kind of liturgical whiplash, we've then understood the point. It's not unlike our move from the frigid outdoors into the warmth of the inside this morning. The hubris and the fickle nature of humanity is thus illustrated as we move from celebration to condemnation, as we move from a joyous reception to a violent rejection. Humanity could not receive God on God's terms, you see. And at the end of the day, the fiery love of God in Christ was just so intense that the only thing we knew to do with him was to nail him to a tree. Now, in one sense, we can all identify, can we not, with what it is like to be rejected. I mean, surely you have also been rejected by somebody at some point. You've probably experienced your own Judas within your own life, or a crowd that has turned against you, or friends who have deserted you. Perhaps even a face or a name comes to mind even now. People will treat us well. People will sing our praises, and then they won't. And that is when our true beliefs are revealed. When the parade leaves and our Judas shows up or the crowd turns against us, that is when the topsoil is scraped off of our hearts and where what we really believe is shown forth in the light of day. It is made known. The question is, can we follow him then? Can we move with him beyond the place of pain, beyond the conflict, beyond having grown accustomed to the praise? Can we go with him to the abandonment, to being rejected even by others and hurt? And then, as Christ has done for us, can we forgive? The extent to which we do this is the extent to which we believe in the gospel of Christ. Jesus is there for the parade, you see, but he is determined to go beyond it to the cross. Even if we can't or simply will not go with him, which ultimately we cannot, we are not our own Savior. Thank God. For so often our relationships, born out of the parade and the praise, do not survive the challenge and the crucible. But this is not true for our relationship with Christ. God makes sure of this himself. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So the invitation on Palm Sunday is into a holy week. Not where we drowned within our own interior lives and anxieties and fears and doubts, but where we bring all of our past into proximity with the profundity and the power of Christ's march to the cross, letting him bear our burdens, letting him carry us beyond the place of death to hope, which springs eternal. What we will learn this week is that God's love has a cross-shaped character all along. For this is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world was laid. In other words, God is not surprised by becoming a victim. God is not thwarted by having Judas turn him over. God is not even diminished by being nailed to a tree. God knows that we will turn to other stones to form the basis upon which we build our lives. He is, in fact, content to be tossed to the places of deep darkness, for he knows that is precisely where he must go if we are to finally learn that the stumbling block is actually the very cornerstone, chief upon which everything else must rest. So let me tell you about how my son James chooses a stone. James is all about what I call the splashability factor. He's not yet concerned with gracefully skipping the stone. He's not concerned with landing the stone on the far banks of the river. No, his methodology is to find the largest and the ugliest rock possible. He chooses the stones I have rejected, the very ones I know will not land me on the far shore of the water. But you see, he wants to disturb the waters. He wants to throw it in with all of his little might, so it will unsettle the flow of the water as it sinks down to the depths of darkness and does its unseen work. And of course, I'm not just talking about James. In Holy Week, God will allow us to pick him up and toss him into the deep darkness of this week. He's willing to go there even by our own hands, precisely so he can show us that being drowned in death in the water is no match for his love. He wants to upset our waters, in fact. He wants to disturb our illusions of peace and safety. He intends to refashion our lives, indeed the whole cosmos, with his Son as the chief cornerstone. The gospel beauty of Holy Week is that even as this stone who is Jesus is ultimately rejected, this is God's means by which he takes us up in his nail-scarred hands. This is the very means by which he chooses us, even as we reject him. For he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his cross-shaped love. Holy Week will take us into the depths and into the darkness, and paradoxically, when all is said and done, the stone that was discarded into the baptismal waters of death, seemingly sunk down to the dark recesses of the Jordan, this stone will be standing on the far shore of God's promised land, resurrection life. But even if and as and when he remains unchosen by us, his face is set like flint. He will go to the cross for you and for me. In other words, Holy Week is a great lesson on how to choose a stone. Choose wisely.